Europe's reaction to our financial suggestions? In so many words, mind your own business.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon in for Steve Tiotakis. We've got the global perspective now, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and rest of the world. Germany's leader, Angela Merkel, is headed home to Berlin today after her meeting at the White House. And she's returning with a clear, direct message from President Obama. He said the Germans need to take the lead in handling Europe's debt crisis. But that message isn't going down too well back in Europe, as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
President Obama is clearly worried that the debt crisis could spiral out of control, sending shockwaves across to the U.S. economy. At a joint news conference with the German leader in Washington, Obama said Germany must take the lead in tackling the crisis. Stefan Schneider is chief international economist at Deutsche Bank in Frankfurt. He says Obama's remarks might imply Germany has dithered over the crisis, and that's unfair.
There is no easy solution. Sorry, it's a very complicated issue, and there is no quick fix.
He says there are 17 different European countries involved and the independent European Central Bank, so taking a lead isn't easy. And he says it's a bit rich for the US to be offering advice on debt management.
Overall, I mean, if you just look at numbers, the US is at least in as deep doo-doo as Europe.
Schneider says the U.S. is obviously worried that if the eurozone crisis escalates, investors could start looking more closely at the U.S. debt situation. From London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
In a U.S. appeals court in Atlanta today, the Obama administration will be defending last year's health insurance reforms. Earlier this year, a Florida judge ruled the president's Affordable Care Act overstepped the administration's authority when it mandated individuals buy health insurance. Meantime, a new report says a surprising number of companies will drop health benefits for their workers as the law takes effect. Marketplace's Amy Scott is here with details. You've read the report, Amy. What does it say?
Well, the headline is that 30% of employers will definitely or probably stop offering employer-sponsored insurance after 2014. That's when several of the big provisions of the law kick in. I should say that this report comes from the consulting firm McKinsey & Company. And that figure is even higher, more than 50%, for employers with a high awareness of the changes coming. So that would leave a lot more workers to buy their own insurance with government subsidies than predicted. The Congressional Budget Office had estimated that only about 7% of workers would have to do that.
And is that a success? More companies taking advantage of the health care reforms?
Well, of course, it depends how you define success. For one thing, it suggests that more costs will shift to the government. But, you know, for some employees, the report says that the cost of buying insurance on subsidized state exchanges will be lower than what they're paying toward insurance at work right now. And what was surprising is that more than 85% of workers said, you know, they'd stick around at their jobs even if their employer stopped offering benefits. They would, though, expect to get more pay or other benefits in return. But some of that, of course, would have to go toward buying their own insurance.
Mm-hmm. Marketplace's Amy Scott, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. A bleak outlook from Fed Chairman Bernanke sent Wall Street tumbling near the close yesterday. And European markets have followed suit. Stocks in London, Paris, and Frankfurt all down around 1% this hour.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk. Since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at novonordisk-us.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained local agents committed to small business success. More at 1-866-200-4BIZ.
It's crystal ball gazing time at the World Bank again. They're forecasting what may happen in the global economy over the next couple of years. Yeah, somebody's got to do it. Marketplace's Scott Tong joins us from Washington. Hey, Scott.
Good morning, Bob.
I see the headline forecast, global economic growth 3.2% this year, then up to 3.6% the next couple of years. What's the thinking behind these global thinkers?
Well, the thinking is the main engine is the developing countries. The view from the World Bank is the emerging countries are past the financial crisis. They've rolled the rock up to the top, and now it's back kind of to business as usual in a lot of these countries. That stands in big contrast to the rich countries, growing at 2 to 2.5% compared to maybe 6% in the emerging countries, because we, the rich countries, have the biggest hangover from the financial crisis. Here's economist Andrew Burns of the World Bank.
High-income countries, having been at the nexus of the financial crisis, having been most involved in the excesses, if you wish, of the boom period, have the largest amount of restructuring to do.
And Bob, here's the euphemism alert. The rich country problems, according to the bank, include fiscal sustainability questions. In other words, deficits.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll take that. What's the biggest risk they see going forward? Middle East, other financial forces?
For now, the Middle East crisis, they say, has been contained as far as impacting the world economy, but they're really watching oil prices. If there's any kind of supply shock and oil goes up, say, $50 a barrel, then for us, you know, our gas might go up to $4.75, $5, and the same effect would be felt around the world. So far, a relatively containable impact, small effect on the world.
I didn't hear any mention of record food prices. We've heard a lot about that. Are they worried about that?
They think about it a lot. The big question is the relationship between food and energy. You need fertilizer, which is petroleum. You need to transport food, which is also petroleum. And that adds to the input costs. And the World Bank is worried that we could see this prolonged inflation push, as they called it, higher prices, unless farmers can be more productive going forward.
Marketplace's Scott Tong giving us a glimpse of the future. Thanks.
You're welcome.
And finally this morning.
Hello. I'm calling in regards to the ad I read in the paper.
As anyone who's seen Mrs. Doubtfire knows, it can be hard finding good help. A Los Angeles entrepreneur kept hearing that complaint from his friends and clients, so he started up a service for domestic staffing needs. Now, the Rent-A-Grandma service aims to go nationwide through a new franchise program. It bills itself as the place to find carefully screened women age 50 and over for nannies, elder care, housekeeping, pet setting, and similar jobs. The company's founder, Todd Bliss, tells Business News Daily there's no replacement for experience. One of the selling points on the Rent-A-Grandma website, women in their 50s, don't text or tweet when they're watching your kids. I'm Bob Moon in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Chinese students spend years studying for intense college entrance exams, but once they get to campus, many of those students lose steam.
Chinese schools aren't producing this talent. In fact, maybe they're taking some very creative people and making them uncreative. And so this has tremendous economic implications.
I'm Tess Vigeland. What college burnouts mean for the Chinese economy? Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.